This summer, New York has become the 23rd state to legalize medical marijuana. The new law won't take effect for 18 months, and when it does, the measure puts very tight limits on how the marijuana can be administered, by pill or vapor, but not smoked. And there are just 10 illnesses that qualify for a prescription for medical marijuana. Serious conditions, such as cancer, HIV, Parkinson's, and ALS. Dr. J. Michael Bostwick is a psychiatrist at the Mayo Clinic. When we spoke with him last fall, he had just published a major paper on the health effects of marijuana.
The basic conclusion I draw in the article is that we need to be studying the endocannabinoid system and cannabinoids. We have a lot of drugs that are based on plants, and potentially pharmaceuticals could be developed if we understood the endocannabinoid system better. That's where the pharmaceutical development has been extremely limited, because it's so hard to get permission to study them.
So if we're talking about smoking marijuana here, what are the dangers?
Well, the dangers vary quite a lot depending on the age of the person who's using it and for what reason they're using it. Obviously, if you use a burned substance for many, many years, you run a risk of lung pathology of various sorts. If you use it potentially while driving, you might have poorer reflexes. In kids, it may unmask psychotic illness if there's a tendency towards that. It may cause poor school function or poor work function if a person is using the drug rather than attending to the things that are age appropriate for them. Basically, the literature says that in people older than 25 who start using this medication, there's almost no one who becomes addicted. And the most problematic time is probably adolescence, when it can interfere with the things that you should be doing to grow and develop.
Mm-hmm. What about you touched on it, the risk of schizophrenia, to have that first break, if you will?
Well, the risk here is to have the first break come sooner, but it doesn't cause schizophrenia. The association is with a disease coming out earlier and more intensely, and then if the person continues to use it, the person having a rockier course with the disease.
Okay. When we're talking about marijuana use in adolescence, reminds me of kind of the arguments against alcohol use. Are there some parallels there that, you know, give alcohol in an adolescent brain functions differently and will leave children vulnerable for long-time problems?
Well, I think the principle that might link them both is that the brain is still developing rapidly. It's being remodeled in adolescence, and if you introduce substances that are potentially going to interfere with that remodeling process, that development process, then you can get into terrible trouble. Alcohol has a higher rate of addiction and has many other complications that are life-threatening that in high doses that marijuana does not have. You know, I think that basically any substance used by an adolescent potentially affects that developing brain, and that is different than what happens with older adults.
There's a lot of debate over whether or not marijuana is addictive. What's your take on that?
Well, I think there's no question that it's addictive. The studies have shown that about 10% of people who use it will become addicted to it, which is actually less than alcohol, cocaine, nicotine, and other substances that are around, some of them legal. So the notion that it simply doesn't cause addiction is not true. It's been shown as well that probably if you start using it after 25, often in a medical situation, you won't become addicted. That being said, some of the people who are most likely to use marijuana medically are people who have some experience with it recreationally when they were younger, and they're not bothered by the effects on the mind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because I think in your article you had mentioned that for some people, smoking marijuana is a very pleasurable experience. For others, it produces anxiety and kind of...
That's right, for sure. And also, the other thing is that these days, you have no idea what is actually in the marijuana that you are smoking. Even though there has not been research of a legitimate sort, the breeders who grow the plant have been growing different strains that have different proportions of the active ingredients in them that can have different effects on different people. It also may be that if you smoke in certain situations as opposed to others, you're more likely to have a negative reaction. But understanding marijuana as one plant is simply misleading, because at this point there are so many different varieties with so many different strengths of active ingredients.
Mm-hmm. I think in addition to the debate over whether marijuana is addictive is also that debate that marijuana use leads to the use of harder drugs.
Actually, one of the things that I thought was quite funny is that marijuana, you run the risk if you use marijuana of becoming a cigarette smoker.
You're going backwards.
Well, that's what
I read.
In some
ways. Yep.
That's what I read. And I mean, you know, everybody knows the story of somebody who used marijuana and then started using cocaine and alcohol and whatever else. But I don't think it's a cause and effect. I think in many cases you're around people who are using substances. Adolescents in particular like to experiment with lots of substances, so they get exposed to these things. But the notion that somehow marijuana makes you try other drugs, I think is rather simplistic.
Okay. So since this is a medical show, marijuana as medicine, where does that fit in your mind? I mean, what conclusion did you come to about using marijuana as medicine?
Well, the first thought that I have is we're in an utterly crazy situation when nearly half the states have legalized it and the federal government has not. It seems to me that immediately sets up marijuana as medicine as being very problematic when your doctor can be arrested for federal crimes when in a state where it's legal. Now, I think, as I wrote in the New England Journal, in a situation in which the marijuana is given in a longstanding, ongoing relationship with a physician, then it can be part and parcel of things to try. Doctors know about medications and pills and whatever, but they still are working with one patient at a time and trying things that may or may not be helpful. The key that I keep emphasizing as I write about this is that it needs to be done in relationship with a physician who is following your care. I also make the point over and over again that if your use of this substance starts interfering with your function, the things that you are supposed to be doing, then you've got trouble. For some people, it permits them to do things they wouldn't otherwise be able to do. Again, I don't think we fully understand this, and what I always conclude is that we can't possibly fully understand it if we can't even really study it.
I'm going to ask you for kind of your best case for not legalizing marijuana, and then the other hand, your best case for legalizing marijuana. So to your mind, what's the strongest case to be made for not legalizing marijuana?
It's almost very hard to answer that question because it seems that the horse or the whole herd of horses is way out of the barn. And, you know, arguments that are made about prohibition come to mind. That in a sense, we could make it illegal, but so what? It's used by millions of people. It's available. People grow it in their gardens. As a pragmatic man, my thought is the question is interesting but fairly irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of legalizing it, I think that it would permit it to be studied and perhaps for pharmaceuticals to be developed from it. Again, I'm impressed by the science that says that there's a whole system in the body that's run by these chemical, related chemicals to what's found in the plant, and that we could learn a lot by that. The trouble with this or opioids at this point, prescription opioids, or alcohol, as they all come with risk. And we're always going to have to be balancing the benefits against the risk. I know I'm sort of dodging the question, but I don't think that either legalizing it or making it illegal will solve the problem. The reality is that there's marijuana being used recreationally. There's marijuana being used medically. Some states have legal marijuana. Some states don't. The federal government wants to believe that we can just sort of legislate this in such a way that it won't be a problem. But the problem is here. The title of the article really speaks to that blurred boundaries. I was just impressed. You know, as you've already mentioned, it's a very long article with many sections, but each time you make one argument, there's a counter-argument, no matter what you're talking about, whether it's recreational, whether it's medical, whether it's historical. I thought the issue might be fairly cut and dried, and if I just did enough research, I could eventually get the answer. But what I came away with was that there are all these contradictions and all these balancing, competing needs that the drug presents. Anyone who's interested in this topic should appreciate that it is going to be a complex topic and there's not going to be a simplistic or easy answer on the medical side, on the recreational side. That we have to make judgments based on the information that we have and not just assume that we can come up with some one-size-fits-all solution to the problem of either recreational or medical marijuana.
Dr. Michael Bostwick is a professor of psychiatry at the Mayo Clinic. We'll post a link to the paper he wrote on the health effects of marijuana. You can find it by going to our website at soundmedicine.org. And while you're there, you can also listen to his story about his son's struggle with drugs that spurred his research.